Revolutionary
Gospel Radio.
All right, how you guys doing today? This is Joseph Smith, Arthur Joseph Smith of the Revival of the Roman Empire, the Devil Workshop, Caliphate Rise of the Islamic Nation. You get all three of those books at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. Today, I've come to you guys live this show, and it's talking about connecting the dots, you know, in the Bible, you know, understanding the Word of God. And the more I've studied the Word of God over a period of time, the more scriptural revelation that I've come into. And the Bible talks about studying to show thyself approved, a workman that rightfully dividing the Word of God and not being ashamed. So we live in an era, we have a lot of guys standing out there in the church, ecclesia, which really is a greatly misunderstood word in our time, because it's a gathering, together of our nation. See, people see church in a whole different light. Now, I've been looking at that for the last couple of days to redefine what church really is, because it seems like we have lost the complete meaning of church in our time. And so ecclesia is really meaning a called out, you know, also who's been called out to be part of God's kingdom. So when we come together, we're actually a nation being joined together. And so I was looking at this scripture, excuse me, people, looking at the scripture and understanding the Bible and trying to understand what's happened. Why do we have a misconception of the Bible? And one of those things I realized is that we're told to read the Bible without acknowledging that he was dealing with a particular people. And when you begin to deal with that, you have people who feel that this is racist because it's actually not their people the Bible is talking about. A lot of people who are racist do not like to look at the very fact of who the people of the Bible really are. And I've been talking about that the last couple of days, and this comes down to it is the children, the people here in this nation who've come over here on slave ship, because in Deuteronomy 28, and it'll be two scriptures, and I'm going to move quickly past that. I'm going to go to Ecclesiastes and get on into the scripture part of what I'm really talking about today. But Deuteronomy 28 makes plain who they're talking about. You know, there's a description in Deuteronomy 28, and it deals with the curses. You know, if they were to do right, then it would not be a curse. But they chose to do wrong, so they ended up under these curses. And if you follow that, because it's a whole lot of scripture read, I'm not going to sit down and text more time than I actually have on the show. In the last couple of days, I have been kind of rushing through. But you see, like verse 30, you said, thou shalt, and this is something that happened during slavery. Who can claim this among all the nations of the world? And this is Deuteronomy 28, and that said, thou shalt betroth thy wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grape thereof. Okay? Just that one verse in itself. What did we go through in slavery? We went through men sleeping with our wives, the slave master. That's why there's a lot of brothers like me, light-complected, because we are proof of the masters coming down and sleeping with these other men's wives, and they couldn't do nothing about it. They'll put them out. Go find something to do, boy. You know what they probably were calling them back then, and he couldn't say nothing because he was up under a curse. Okay? So he would go out, and this other man would sleep with his wife. Okay? And then they said they would build a house. They'll build a big old house for this man, but they didn't dwell in it. They dwelled in the field. They dwelled in barns and shacks, okay? They planted vineyards for these people, cotton and all kind of stuff, and they gathered in, but they couldn't gather it into themselves. Excuse me. That's one of the problems where chitlins come from, because these people would throw out the waste matter of the hall. And that matter was the bowels of the pig, and the people call them chitlins. They ate, that's the only kind of meat they got, okay? But in the end, it goes on, and this goes right along with Deuteronomy 5 and 6 to understand what Egypt means here. He said, and the Lord shall bring thee into ships. And the Lord shall bring thee, the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I have spoken unto thee, and thou shalt see it no more again. And thou shalt be sold unto your enemies for bond men and bond women. And no man shall buy thee. In other words, when you go into the actual lexicon in the Hebrew text, really when it's talking about no man shall buy thee, that means Christ was the one who would have to redeem you. Nobody was going to be able to restore the true Israelites to Israel but Christ. And the Bible bears witness to that. And look what it says. It says Egypt. A lot of people look at Egypt and they actually think Egypt. And it says, and this is chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, verse 6. So I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So if he was rightfully interpreting this scripture, rightfully dividing the scripture, because that's what we're talking about, how to rightfully divide the word of God. It says, and the Lord shall bring thee into the house of bondage again with ships, by the way whereof I have spoken unto thee. The house of bondage by ships, that is us. No matter what they do, what they say, they cannot get around that the black man is the true Israelite. This is the Israel that no man sought after, as the Bible say. And I believe that was Isaiah 30, where it talked about that, or Jeremiah 30, which said this Egypt that no man wants. The nation of Zion, the Israelites, that no man wants. They did not want to acknowledge you. They had no desire to follow you. Even today, they say we should become a proverb and byword in the Bible. And that's us. No matter what people tell you and the lies, you know, they tell you the imposters they have sitting over in Israel today. Those are imposters. An imposter is trying to deceive somebody to gain something by fraudulently. And that's what they're doing. They tell people every day, you know, I have a family member tell me, don't put your mouth on them Jews over there. Don't say nothing against them. Those God's people. How you figure? They're not black. They're not the children of Jacob. You know, and it cracks me up how the attitude is. In verse 30, tells you how the world view us. In Jeremiah chapter 30, in verse 17, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17. For I will restore health unto thee. I will heal thee. This is God of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Because I call it thee the outcast. You know what an outcast, the reject. That's what an outcast is. Saying, this is the Zion whom no man seeketh after. Ain't nobody want to be bothered with you black folks. But we're talking about rightfully dividing the scriptures, okay? And that comes from 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I was looking at that. Today I realized there is a lot of people out here teaching the word of God, but they're not really teaching the word of God. They don't really understand the word of God. And as the more I study this word and understanding that it was our people, then I can get a clearer view of what is really going on, because God had chosen us among the nations. So when you really understand that he started from Abraham, and this whole book up until, okay, let's look at what's strange about this. Chapter 10 and 11, he was dealing with the world. Then he moved from dealing with the world after the flood of Noah. That's, you know, you had chapter 10 and 11. Then he goes on into dealing with the son of Shem. And came Shem, you got Shem. From Shem came Noah's his father. From Shem came Abraham. Okay, and then you find out the Bible picks up and it walks all the way down, pretty much it's the up and down of what has been going on with this nation of people, this black nation, all these years. You're looking at the Bible and they give you this incorrect view. You cannot really understand the Bible unless you understand the theme or the context that has been written in. It shows the relationship we have had with God, how Israel has acted, how we end up here in America in slavery. It shows that. In the Song of Solomon, Song of Solomon, Solomon says clearly, I am black. He told you what color he was. But when you talk to the people, you look at all these pictures, they're white. Moses, white. The seven women at the well, white. And then you go to chapter 11, chapter 12 of Numbers, what do you see? Seven Ethiopian women at the well. Miriam and Aaron, which was Moses' brother and sister, spoke against him. Miriam got leprosy. She turned white. So how was any of these people white? It's a great distortion. It's a great deception that has gone on for years. And it has caused us to misunderstand the Bible. Because when you really understand it, you start looking at it in a whole different light. And as I actually, to be honest, I'm starting to see the Bible as I've never seen it. Because I realize it's dealing with a nation of people. Okay? And this right here, 2 Timothy, and I'm going to go on, it's dealing with the nation of people. I'm not going to lose my thought. It says, okay, it says in verse 14 and 15, of the things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the diverting of the hearer, the turning away when you're playing around with words like Jesus. You know, you got the G-O-O-C, or G-C, however you say their name. There was no J. The J didn't come into this part of time. Like, God is so small that he don't understand Jesus' name in whatever culture or whatever nation says it. If you're talking in Mandarin, which is Chinese, if you're talking in Swahili, if you're talking in French, German, Spanish, as if God is not going to understand the name Jesus, it has to be said in Hebrew. That is deception. That is only for the subverting of the hearer, turning them away from the truth that they have come into. That's what's happened to a lot of brother Hebrew Israelite brothers. Black is a color, but it is not the nation. We're Hebrew Israelites. I'm from the tribe of Judah. That is one of the tribes of Israel. So let's get an understanding. Black, yes, I'm black. That's my color. But my nation, I'm a Hebrew Israelite. That's who I am. So it says it turning away, the subverting. It turns away people when you're sitting up here telling them that stuff like that. You're deviating them from the truth, and that's what's happened to a lot of these brothers playing this linguistic game with the word of God. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Notice that, rightfully dividing the word of God, because the word of God has been put in a metaphor. It's something that's been put together where you aren't just going to pick it up and grab it and be like you understand everything that's written in the Bible. That is not the way the word of God has been written. You know, he says that. He tells Jesus to tell you that. But let's look at what Solomon says in the Ecclesiastes, verse 7 and 23. Chapter 7. Once again, chapter 7 and verse 23. It says, all this have I proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which is far off and exceedingly deep, who can find it out? This is the question he asked. Who can find out the exceedingly deep thing, the matters of God? You know, that's what he was asking. He said he started out to know all these things, but it was far from him. And then, and what you got is 1 Corinthians, look what it says. He asked, who can find it out? He said, but God, now this is chapter 2, verse 10, rightfully dividing the scriptures. Here's the answer to Solomon's question. Who can find out these exceedingly deep things? And this is chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, verse 10. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Notice that. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. See, the Spirit of God. This is what's missing, people. This is why so many people deviate from the truth, because they can't rightfully divide the Word of God, because they don't have the Spirit of truth. Okay, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, that we might know them, that which things also we speak not in the words which man wisdom teaches, But with the Holy Ghost teaches, conspiring, the Holy Ghost teaches continuously, conspiring spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receive not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. You hear that? It's foolishness unto him. Okay? Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. They're spiritually given. Okay? So we have a problem why you've been short-circuited, why these preachers cannot understand this book, why they cannot come down to the point of he's been dealing with Israel. Okay, from the time chapter 10 and 11, he was dealing with the world. He stopped at that point and went to dealing with Israel solely, all the way up into the chapter Acts 10 and 11. Other than that, you're constantly reading the history and the events of our people, the black people of America, and everywhere, all out through the hemisphere, wherever else we've been sucked throughout these lands. He's been dealing with us. He's telling us the condition of our people, how we've been reacting to him, how we've dealt with him. And notice he says, so we find out they can't rightfully divide the word of God because it is spiritually discerned, it's spiritually given. Now look at this, is chapter 16 and 13 of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 16 and 13. So how here be it, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you in what? All truth, no, some truth. You're going to have some truths and some lies, as some people have said. Some truths are like, how is that? When the Spirit of truth comes, it says he shall guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come, the future events according to this Bible. Not that you're going to get some cars, some foolishness that you hear these guys doing when you come together in this church called Ecclesia. Really, it's supposed to be the gathering in of the nation, our nation, all those who are part of the kingdom of God. Now, let's look at this before we get an understanding of what I'm talking about, where I'm going to, because I'm going to come back and show you that it's a nation. We are that nation that God has chose to rule this world. But there's many believers that's going to come in and join themselves with us. There's no such thing that color does not matter in this Bible, because that is the greatest lie ever told. Because you don't really get to understand and really get to see that he's dealing with the nation if you don't understand that there's a particular people that he's talking to. You just think he's just talking pretty much in the air. He's just talking to everybody. No, he's been dealing with our nation. He's been dealing with the way our conduct, how we're supposed to have led the world, but we have misled the world. We have not followed him. And so, therefore, he punished us in Deuteronomy 28. And all these curses that are written in that book overcame us. And we're still living under it to this day. Now we've entered into the time of Jacob's trouble, when Israel will be once again delivered and take back over its rightful place in the world, whether the people like it or not. It's a matter of truth. It is not a matter of racism. The Bible, that as we read it, we can't understand it because we're misapplying it. We're not understanding he's dealing with the nation, the kingdom. Now look what he says. And when it says, okay, and when he was determined of the Pharisees, when, look at this, when the kingdom of God shall come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observance. Neither shall thou say, lo, here, or lo, there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. See, there's the next problem. The people don't understand the necessity of the born-again experience, the true born-again experience, not the religious experience. Talk about scriptural born-again. When it talks about the John 3, Gospel of John chapter 3 and 3, when it says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot understand it. Verse 5 said, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. See, we're talking about a government coming. He's telling us he's dealing with our nation. And all the nations around us, he's looking at them and there's judgment on them. But we're in the midst of it. When you understand that, the Bible becomes clear. You understand what you see in the church is nothing but a forest. Why? These people don't even understand why they're coming together. They're coming together to be educated on how to live in the kingdom to come, but they have to undergo the born-again experience, because that's what he was talking about when he says, I will have a new covenant when I will write my laws in their mind, in their heart. Okay? So you can't be a part. And I'll go back to that scripture to show you that. But you have to be born again. And that goes back to Acts 2:38. What is that? Water and spirit. It says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For what? The remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Okay? So it's water and spirit. Acts 19, Paul asked the people who came across, said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they told him they have not even heard as much as there be any Holy Ghost. And he asked them, then were you baptized? And he went on to tell them they need to be baptized in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of their sins. Okay? And then he laid a hand on them, they received the Holy Ghost. But what was that? That was the kingdom of God. They became a part of that, the born-again experience. Acts 4 and 12 said there, Acts 4 and 12, because I like to mess this one up. Let's look at this Acts 4 and 12 real quick, and I'm going to push on to this my last little verses here. It said, this is the stone which was set at naught of your builders, which is become the head of the stone. He says, neither is thy salvation. This is 4 and 12. That's 11, and this is verse 12. Neither is thy salvation, deliverance, in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, the blood of Christ has never been applied to your life. Okay? Because he said he washed, in verse Revelations 1 and 5, he said he washed us from our sins in his own blood. So Acts 2:38 is where you find a remission of sin. That's where the blood is at. It's in the name of somebody fully submerge you, saying, I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. And then you have to receive the Holy Ghost, because then you know you are a part of the kingdom. That's Acts 19. Have you? All you listen to me out there, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And I ain't talking about you get to Acts 2 and try to tell me this tongue. It's not true. It's a language. So we're looking at this, and then Jesus was saying something, because there's a two-part of this kingdom, and I find it very interesting. Because as I'm looking at it, I'm actually learning still. I've been reading this book for years, but it's coming clearer and clearer to me. Let's look at where Pilate is talking to Jesus. I'm thinking here. It's John 18. I don't know why I like to lose that scripture, because that's a very important scripture. Look what he says. He'll show you this a kingdom. And Pilate, this is John 18, verse 35. Pilate answered, he said, Jesus answered, okay, let's go to 33. And Pilate entered into judgment hall and called Jesus and said to him, are thou the king of the Jews? Look at that. Are thou the king of the Jews? Are thou Lord over the Jews? Are you the king? You're the ruler? Jesus answered him, say thou this thing of thyself. You know this by yourself, or did others tell thee of me, told you that I'm the king? Pilate answered and said, I am a Jew. Am I a Jew? Then thy own nation, notice that, thy own nation, their own kingdom, thy own nation, and the chief priests have delivered thee up unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom, his nation, his government system, is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But now is my kingdom not far from here. The first part of his kingdom was in the day of Pentecost. That's what happened. The Holy Ghost came down, and the indwelling of the Holy Ghost makes us a part of the kingdom. You know, all believers, he started dealing with the world again in Acts 10 and 11. He didn't deal with nobody else from Genesis 10 and 11. When you get to 10 and 11, Genesis 11, you find out, after you finish there, he deals with the Israelites all the way through up into Acts 10 and 11 when he accepts the world back in through Jesus. The same thing applies to Cornelius, the Italian. They had to be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost to become a part of this nation, our kingdom. See, that is why the Bible is so distorted. People don't understand we're dealing with a kingdom. We're dealing with a nation. We're a nation amongst all these people. And the people we've been dealing with is Israel. We're going to take the top again. Of course, Jacob troubles coming because he's going to finish weeding out a lot of us, because he talks about those that hated him. In other words, those that rebelled against him, and that he was going to visit the iniquity upon the father and the children. You can come from under those curses by simply being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and being filled with the Holy Ghost, and it no longer is going to be upon you. But it talks about a time of Jacob's trouble. When God says in Isaiah 10, though Israel be as the sands of the sea, only a remnant shall return. Okay? That's what he's talking about in Acts 1, I want y'all to look at this too, because this is very important. Notice something, because I said there's two parts of his kingdom. Notice what they asked. This is Acts 1 and 6. It said, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Will you give us back world dominance? Look at this. What are you sitting in church hearing? Do these guys really get what they're talking about? Do they not understand we're dealing with a making of a nation? They're building the kingdom. I done heard all these people from the Islamic nation all talking about what they're building. What are you building? You don't understand what you're building. Trying to get the brother together. No, man, follow the word of God. False religion, this cross in wood. These brothers you see that when these dying people got killed, they all looking like these Catholicism people, Catholics. The little collar in between their shirt, Catholics. That was coming out of Rome and not from Jerusalem. That has nothing to do with my nation, nor to do with the nation of Islam, okay? That's rock. That's what they say. They shall worship wood and stone. False Christianity, that stuff that comes from Europe out of the Protestant Reform movement, you see how they look? Look like some clowns up there would look like Pope attire, Rome, the Vatican attire. Then you got the brothers who's claiming this Islam, the rock. One of the people who's most cruelest to us was the Arabs castrating us. Okay, so he asks, when shall you restore our world dominance, the kingdom to us? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season. When God has a time, when he's talking about when, the times, the season, when is appointed, you know, when was the time appointed? The first part, when God has, you know, when I'm looking at this word, because I've been thinking about this time, the season, because it shows the kingdom's coming in two parts. The first part has already come. You know, that time is past. That was the day of Pentecost. Now we're waiting for the next appointed time. Okay, it says times or seasons, when God has predetermined to establish his physical kingdom now. That's what we're waiting for. Christ is the most important advent of mankind anyway. This is the one who comes to deliver all nations. But the Bible has been distorted because they tell us don't look at the color, because when you stop looking at the color, you miss the real theme of the Bible. He's been dealing with Israel. Okay, now he's back dealing with the world. Tomorrow, y'all, I'd like some call-ins. You might want to write this number down. 773-897-6105, and I will open my line so any of y'all have questions or comments. But this is what it's about, people, the restoration of our people, the restoration of this world altogether. We will take world dominance regardless of what lies and distortion they have put us. The Bible is about Israel in the restoring of God's kingdom and God's power and authority on this earth, and removing all these other nations out of the way and bringing them all under our control. They will no longer exist. You would have to be a part of the kingdom of God, or you will not be a part of nothing. And the only way to do that is to be born again, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and filled with his Holy Spirit. Other than that, you have no part. Stop deceiving yourself. Once again, people, this is Arthur Joseph Smith, the writer of The Rival of the Roman Empire, The Devil Workshop, The Caliphate, The Rise of the Islamic Nation. And you can go out and get those books at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books a Million. Thank you, guys. I'll be back on tomorrow at 12:30 again. This is Revolutionary Gospel News. Tune in tomorrow. We'll hear some more of that word. All right, y'all. Bye.